All right, now we've tried to take Sunday morning, unless the Lord leads us different on Sunday morning, to have a little teaching, to try to get you into the Word. It seemed like people don't know nothing about God's Word. They shouted and hollered and jumped and clapped their hands and sang. They've done everything but grow in the knowledge of the Lord like He commanded them to do. They love to feel the Spirit. They love to feel the Spirit of God. It's like people riding in an automobile. They love to ride and see the trees and the lakes and have a good time, but when the car goes to giving out of gas, they don't want to put the money out of their pocket to put the gas in the tank. They'd rather whoever's in the car with them would do that. Exchange it. They want to ride and have a good time, you know, and have the thrills of seeing everything, but they don't want to pay for nothing. People are the same way in church. They don't want to give nothing to God's work, but they want to ride. They want to have a good time. They want to go to heaven. They want to shout. They want to sing. But they don't want to do nothing for God. Nothing. They don't want to learn nothing. They don't want to take time to hear. And that's why they don't have any faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And they don't want to take time to hear nothing. They want to feel something. That's the thing that deceived Isaac. When he went by his feelings and Esau and Jacob come over there, he stuck out his hand. The Bible said he fell. I said, well, it said, your voice sounds like Jacob, but you feel like my son Esau. And he didn't realize that the mother had deceived him and had taken a little skin off of a goat or something and wrapped it around Esau to make, or Jacob to make him feel hairy so that he could get the birthright. People go by their feelings, but faith cometh by the hearing. I like your feelings. If faith had come by the feelings, the church had had faith enough to turn the world upside down. It comes by the hearing of the Word. Brother A.A. Allen led a revival across the world. The people jumped and shouted and run and screamed and hollered and buck danced. And that I've seen them stand out popping their fingers, so to speak, like that, and doing all kind of dances. Hundreds of thousands of people rallied. People screamed and hollered. The organ went up and down. But some of them don't know nothing about God or God's Word. The biggest part of them don't even know that women are not called to preach. Most everyone that followed him, men and women alike, was deceived in that one thing, of thinking a woman was called to preach. They didn't even know that much about it. And some of them was talking about casting out devils, and they wasn't casting out devils, they were playing with devils, making a mock of the kingdom of God. And I told him when he came to Atlanta, Georgia, I said, someday they're going to find out something's wrong. And I spoke. I raised up on my feet in that meeting and spoke out. And Alan commented on it when I was in the meeting up there. And he took it one way and I meant it another way. And eventually he found him. He died. And the paper stated he died with infiltration of the liver and died of alcohol where he'd been drinking. What we need to do is know the Word. If them people had known the Word and had discernment, they would have seen, just like the Lord showed me back there, that something was wrong. Brother Oral Roberts covered the entire nation, shook people up from coast to coast. And the Lord, way down in Alabama, Jerry, you remember way down in Alabama when we had the tent down there when Dorothy's baby died over there. You remember that? Way back there, the Lord showed me he'd fall away in his old age and he was shaking the world. That's probably been how many years ago? 10, 15 years ago? I don't know. Way back. Why? Because people don't know the Word. They don't understand it and they're not trying to learn the Word. They just follow their feelings. If it feels right to them, they say, let's go. That's it. And the Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. You say, but Brother Pine, Brother Old Roberts had the anointing on him. Sure he did. A.A. Allen had the anointing on him too. A lot of the others had the anointing on them. Like Brother Branham said, not speaking of a false anointing, But the falsely anointed at the end time, it was the anointing of God. Sure it was. Somebody said, but do you believe that the anointing of God would come on somebody if they were wrong? Absolutely. The rain on the just and the unjust. The rain comes on the tares just like it does the wheat. They don't have anything to do with it. The tares lives by water just like the wheat does. Some of us will never learn, will we? Never. But I tell you what, in the day of the judgment, in the day of the judgment, then we wish that we had or took time to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. Now, I'm going to show you just how discernment does work. When I opened my Bible, and I was looking down at it, I felt the Spirit right here. Right here. Felt it sink away. Don't know how long it'll be, how long it'll take. And that was the attitude. You see what I mean? Evil spirits running over the congregation, running over the people. But you know what? I want you to hear the Word and listen to the Word. Because I'm going to tell you again, you won't have long to listen at it from me. You won't have long. I'm pressing over your feelings, over your thoughts, and over your desires to try to reach the honest hearted and help them. Because you won't have long to listen to me. You that have rebelled, you that have went contrary, you that have resented, you won't have long to listen to me. Brother Taylor, I want you to come this morning, if you will. Now, we read the third chapter, I believe it was, of Revelation. And before I start reading this morning, we've got so many closed doors till some of you ain't going to get nothing. You didn't come here to get nothing or anything. When you come here, you didn't come here for that purpose. Satan has got people that come for one purpose. He sent them for one purpose, that's to hinder the work of God. It said when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, Satan came also. He puts himself in a body. He comes to hinder with his carnal reasoning, with his carnal mind. Whereas the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Sheep can't lead themselves. They have to have a shepherd. That's what a shepherd's for, is to lead them. They try to lead themselves and then they get in a fix. But shepherds are to lead sheep. They used to have what they called chief shepherds. There's in the army, they've got corporals, they've got sergeants, master sergeants. They've got all kind of leaders. They're advanced. Paul said all of the invisible things of God understood by the visible thing. There's advancement. On up to a general, 2-star, 4-star, 5-star, whatever you have, then I believe the president. Right on up to kingship. All under the control of the president, which is a symbol of the great King Christ. But there is authorities and powers, and there be none except it be ordained of God. The Bible said, when he, the chief shepherd, shall appear, he shall give us a crown of life that fadeth not away. I want to read chapter 4, and I'm going to talk with you a little bit this morning. Some of you don't want to hear it, but I'm still going to talk with you. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal.
And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
All right, I'm going to talk to you, though I know in my heart, as Jesus said, you hate me. Some of you hate me. I know you do. And I know you don't want to hear the word. I know you don't. You'd love to see me go out so that you can come in. I know that. Just like Absalom was over there. Laid around the kingdom of David. He had one desire in his heart. That was to overthrow the throne and take David's throne away from him. But he finally wound up dead. That's the way all the rest of them will do. When you resent Christ and you are after nothing but the fishes and the loaves. Like I had a vision the other night, and I saw a young sailor. He was an ex-sailor. Wasn't very tall, wasn't very big. I'm telling the dream, that's the way it was. Just like that. The Bible said, if you have one, tell it, so don't resent it. If you got to fight, fight with God. He gave it to me. Here in the vision, he was trying to kill me. He had done everything. There's a number of other people that was trying their best to kill me. A number of them that was trying to kill me. And they were working in a disguise and working undercover. And act like there were certain things. Like some of them would be salesmen, you know. Like preachers. But they hated me. And they wanted to kill me. And this one had went to such extremes, he had looked everywhere to get somebody to cross him and kill me. But he never could find anybody. And finally he found one was just a bypasser. It looked like he would kill anybody, do anything. And he got him for that purpose. He was the kind of person that would grin at you, stand there and grin at you. But undercover, he was vicious, a murderer. But his plot didn't work. It didn't work. It don't work when God is with somebody, you can't hurt that person. The Lord said, if I'm for you, who can be against you? If your ways please me, I'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. That's why a lot of times at midnight, I'm crying to God on my knees. A lot of times talking to God. You know what for? So that he'll stop my enemies out yonder. David said, let my enemies be confounded. Lord, turn them around. Make their tables a snare unto them. Let them always go backwards. That's the reason. We got a job to do, and by God's grace, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Everybody, everywhere, not only here, but throughout the Carolinas, Mississippi, Alabama, and all around. I never seen anything to beat it. All over the United States, and even into the islands, and Mexico, I can vouch for it. Canada, all over the place. They've tried to kill us and tried to stop us. But the Lord made us to go on. And we're going to go on by the grace of God. Them that got in our way, the Lord will destroy. The Bible said in the days of Samuel, the Lord never let any of his words fall to the ground. Every word that he said, the Bible said that he established it. And the Lord spoke to me in a night vision and told me, so this well down here, call it Mizpah. The well where Samuel judged Israel. This spirit that's coming forth right here is the same spirit that it was back there in the days of Samuel. The same thing. God is judging Israel. It's the last. I thought about those pictures that was taken up at Utica Pine. Those pictures said the finishing touch on them. Now, if some of you don't want to hear me, you can get up and leave. You can get up and leave if you don't want to hear me. You can get up and leave. At Utica Pine, there, the finishing touch. This is the finishing touch. The finishing touch. You know, when the truth comes forth, it affects people altogether different from what it does when it's not the truth. Demon stood up in the midst of the congregation when Jesus was preaching and screamed out against him. Screamed out against him in the midst of the congregation. Demons screaming out. You know why? Because they knew that was the truth. It was the truth. And the truth, you know what the truth does? It's the anointing. It breaks the yoke. You know what the yoke is? It's the carnal mind and evil spirits working in the flesh. It breaks the yoke. It takes away the powers of the evil spirits, and the evil spirits can't hold on longer. But people would rather somebody tickle their ears. Said, you heap to yourself, teachers. You pick out your own preachers. You heap to yourself, teachers. Somebody that will tickle your ears. And the Bible said, instead of coming to the Word of God, you turn to a bunch of fables. What people think about it, what people said about it, what you heard about, that's fables. And teaching for the commandments of God, he said, you have taught the doctrines of men and made the commandment of God no effect. And if you'd have stood in the counsel of God, you'd have called the people to stop watching this evil mess on television. Made them get rid of their evil surmisings, their contrary spirits. You'd have come against their evil natures. You don't have a fight with a man unless you come against him. Preacher, get up here. Why, he can have you shouting, having a good time. It don't make no difference about that. Devils will go right along with you. But what God wants, he said, if any man hold back the sword, I'll require the blood in his hand. He said, cursed is the man that holdeth back the sword. What God wants is somebody to start a fight. We're in a fight. You say, fight against who? Your carnal mind. Not to spare any of them. He said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their sins. And don't spare any of them, young or old, whatever it is. To start a fight with the devil. Then take the word and drive him off. But I can tell you're getting like Israel did. You're closing up more and more and more. You know why? God hardened Pharaoh's heart when he got ready to destroy him. Some of you getting harder and closed up more and more and more. You know why? Because God's getting through with you. You say, oh no, something new's coming. No, it ain't. The Jews thought something new was coming too, but it didn't. They went into Babylonian captivity. Brother Branham's followers thought something new was coming. That Brother Branham was going to be resurrected in a mist, but it didn't happen. I told him, I said, it'll never happen, and it won't. They thought that he would, but now they have dried up. They don't like for you to say that, but it's true. They've dried up and got in a backslidden condition. And that's what's happening to you. Same thing's happening to you. You're drying up. No spiritual vision, no fasting, no praying, no studying the Word, no seeking God, no vision for God. Drying up, withering up. Laodicea, Jesus said, lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. You say you're full, you say you're ready to meet God, say you're ready to make the rapture, but said you're lukewarm. No visions. I made a statement here a while back. Not real, genuine children of God that can get in the stream, but like electrical current, that's static electricity. You take, I've said it before, like this electricity coming here, it gives a light. It comes into a certain area, a certain place, and it stays there and it gives a light so that we can see. But some people don't hold a post of duty. They don't do anything. They just static electricity. All they do is run interference. It doesn't matter what you do. They run interference with you. If you want to go that way, they go this way. You want to go that way, they'll go this way. Any way that you want to go, they want to go contrary. Like some women, some wives. A husband couldn't please some wives. There wouldn't be no possible way. Because some of them's got devils. And I don't care which direction that husband takes, she's going to cross him up. I don't care which direction he takes. She's going to cross him up because she got a devil. I know some husbands are like that too. But the husband is supposed to be the leader in the family. You're supposed to listen at him, supposed to follow him. It's the same way in the church. Not going to follow the shepherd, not going to follow the leader. You got your ideas about it. The Jews said, we know how to run the thing. The Lord said, all right, run it. I'm leaving. Run it. So he turned it over to them. And they sure made a mess out of it. Philosophers, PhD, intellectuals, many men, millionaires, presidents, kings. We don't need God. We can run the world. So the Lord left it. He's let them have it. Some of you ladies, I don't want God in my home. Some of you men, good error, said, get out. We don't want you. Jesus left them. They made a mess out of it. They made a mess out of the church. They made a mess out of the government. They made a mess out of the home. Everybody has made a mess out of things. You know why? They rejected the cornerstone. The same has become the head of the corner. They had their reasoning, the ideas, the feelings, the thoughts. Everything but God's Word. When he told them to grow in the Word. Grow in the Word. Grow in the Word. He said here in the fourth chapter, he said there was a door. I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. A door. A door was open in heaven. God gave a door, opened a door in heaven. Some people don't even know what heaven is. They've been to church all their lives and they still don't know what heaven is. When you speak of a door in heaven, they don't know what that door is. They don't know anything about heaven. They don't know where it's at. They don't know how to get to it. One of the disciples had been with Jesus continually. And the Lord said, I'm fixing to leave. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going back to the same place I come from. He said, you can go. But they said, Lord, how can we go? We don't know the way. I say, you can go to heaven. Somebody said, but how can I go to heaven? I don't know the way. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the door, Jesus said to the sheepfold. I am the door. All that ever come before me is thieves and robbers. They didn't care for the sheep. But he said, I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the door. There was a door open in heaven. Jesus gave Peter a key. Until that time, there had never been a door open in heaven. Never before. From the foundation of the world, there had never been a door open in heaven. Until Jesus gave Peter the key. And he unlocked the door. He opened the door to heaven. Never had there been a door open to heaven. Until Peter took the key. And Jesus said, Peter, here is the key. Unlock the door. And he unlocked the door. And 3,000 people or more went into the kingdom of heaven. Walked right into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said the law and the prophets were back yonder until John and on the other side of Calvary. All of that was back there. Now he said you've come up as far as John. He said, and now the prophets is at an end. That's Brother Branham. That's Brother Branham. He stated when the angel spoke to him. He said, your message will forerun the coming of Christ. The law and the prophets, till John. Since that time, the kingdom's been preached. And Jesus said, I am the door, the way, the truth. Life. I am the way, Jesus said. My friend, if you miss this message, you will never get into heaven. If you miss what God's doing now, you're gone. You might have preachers, evangelists, philosophers. You might have all kinds of people. But a true minister of God is going to point you to this message because it's the last go-around. It's like Brother J.T. said, when that water came down through that valley, he said that they that missed it, they had a second chance. He said, but the boy said, when the water comes back down through the valley, he said, the ones that miss this won't have a chance. This will be it. This will be it. It's the last go-round. People could miss Elijah. People could miss Moses. They did do it. People could miss what Nehemiah was teaching. But my friend, the Bible said there shall be a prophet like unto Moses. God shall raise him up, and him shall you hear in all things. And it shall come to pass that if anyone fails to hear this prophet, he shall be cut off from among the people. That prophet is speaking today. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, I can't believe it. It doesn't matter. The Bible said, can your unbelief make the faith of God none effect? The Bible said the Queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus said, I say unto you that a greater than Solomon is here. Who is the greater? Because you refused to hear Solomon, you wasn't eternally cut off. But my friend, we've got the Holy Ghost here today. And if you fail to hear the Holy Ghost, you're cut off eternally. A greater than Solomon is here. The Bible said it not be you that speak, it'll be God. It won't be you. They shall all be taught of God. But God shall teach them. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. He that cometh on his own will speak his own word, do his own thing. But he that God sendeth will do what God wanted to do. This is the end time. This is the last go-round. This is it. I understand that Brother Franklin Warren went down in South America, preached to him down there. I was looking at the book. He had, looked like acres of people. Many people. He went down there. He was Trinity, working, wouldn't hardly preach Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, I think something happened on the airplane. He told God, just get me out of the storm, and from now on I will preach it. All the churches come together down there in the area really had a meeting. I understand he went back down this time with Jesus' name and preaching an earthquake was going to hit. They drove him out of the country. A real message that will turn people from their sins. Like Brother King said the other day, he was sitting in here. Brother Coon was singing and jumping up and down, clapping his hands and singing, it shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory we shall surely find. And Brother King looked at the little drawings and the sketches, and we was talking about God. He said, Brother Pike said, so much evidence can't be denied. He said, so much proof can't be denied. It's the end time. The Bible said in the last days the scriptures shall speak and shall not lie. They'll bring forth, look at the excavation over yonder in the Holy Land. Right now in the Holy Land, they're uncovering things that pertains to the Old Testament in the old days, scrolls, and all the different things that they're uncovering. What is it? It's the end time. It's the end time. But folks, what are we doing? Are we really doing anything for God? The Bible didn't say he that jumped up and down was wise. He that shouted and running, hooped and hollered was wise. Jesus said the man that can win souls is wise. We're supposed to be winning souls. It didn't say that if you hooped and hollered, jumped and run, that you'd come out of the grave and outshine the noonday sun. But he said he that winneth souls when he comes forth, he'll outshine the noonday sun. A door was open in heaven. Peter opened it. Before that time, there was no open door. There had never been an open door. Never in the history of the world had there been an open door. God one time opened a door to the ark as a symbol of it, and then when he closed that, nobody couldn't get in. The Bible said if God opened it, no man can shut it. If God shut it, no man can open it. And God opened it with Peter, gave an open door and let the people come into the kingdom. 3,000 people. Here we are. The door, my friend, the door that God opened is going to close. Paul the Apostle caught a revelation when it was supposed to be closed. He saw it. And he said, if the casting away of the Jews, if God leaving the Jews, if God blinding the Jews and letting them go down into Babylonian captivity, he said, if this signifies that he's going to start a revival throughout the world to the Gentile people to get himself a bride, he said, what will the turning back to the Jews mean? I could say, well, Paul, I don't know what it means. What does it mean to turn back to the Jews? I could say, I don't know, but Paul had a revelation. According to revelation, Paul said, if the casting away of those Jews be the revival to the world, he said, then when God turns back to the Jew, it means that the resurrection out of the dead is here. That's the closing to the Gentile age. That's the closing of the door. Paul said the revelation shows that when God turned to get a bride, that the Jews went down to sleep. They were dead. But there had to be a resurrection. Over this side of Calvary, we was explaining to Brother Ted the other day, take this little thing here. Like Calvary. Over on one side of Calvary was the Jews. Self-righteous. Felt that they knew the answer. Wanted to do it their way. Over on the left-hand side of Calvary. One side of Calvary, here they stand. Done it their way ever since Adam, coming all the way down from Adam on down to Calvary. From the time of the garden. Never had been born to the Spirit of God. They didn't know nothing about the Spirit of God. You say Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. It makes no difference what it is. If you don't have the Spirit of God, the Bible said you're none of His. Coming all the way down to Calvary. Here, cut off. Couldn't get in. Never did get in. Here, on the side of Calvary. Sacrifice beast. Done everything. Walking perfectly in the knowledge of God. God working all things after the counsel of the unreal. A man would up fly and kill a man. It was perfectly in order with the knowledge of God. He knew it would happen. Worked it just exactly after the counsel of his own will. David took another man's wife. It worked just exactly perfect according to the knowledge of God. Nothing couldn't escape it. No matter where they went, what they'd done, everything. It was perfectly in the knowledge of God. Everything that you do, when you rebel, when you die and go to hell, the Bible said these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. It was made for that purpose. It can't escape the knowledge of God. The full knowledge of God unveils itself. Over on this side of Calvary, everything dead because of the tree of knowledge from Adam's sin, everything dead all the way down to Calvary. In the first man, Adam symbolized Jesus Christ coming. He come, made himself twain. He made himself a first man, Adam, and a second man, Adam. And then the first man, Adam, on this side of Calvary, reckoned as no more than a beast, made sin, and hung on Calvary, hanging down Calvary between heaven and earth. Right there on Calvary. To kill the beastly intelligence and the same human reasoning that I felt here this morning that's contrary to God. The same human intelligence leading to your own understanding. The same devilish tree of knowledge it's always been down through the years ever since the time was. coming right on down to Calvary, coming right up to Calvary, getting right up to Calvary. When he gets right up to Calvary, then the Lord kills the beast. He kills it. Jesus being made sin, he stops it. The blood lineage of Adam, he kills it. He stops it. He leaves it on the other side of Calvary. There was no way to get to heaven. Beast, blood, a type, tabernacle in the wilderness, smoke on the mountain, everything a type, a symbol, a shadow, for everything on that side of Calvary had to do with the natural and with the body and with the beast. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe God was with them people? He sure was. The Holy Ghost was with them. The Holy Ghost was with them. There was miracles. There were signs. There was wonders. It was with Elijah. It was with Moses. Moses faithful in all of his house. It was with Moses. Sure, God was with them. The Bible speaks over there in the book of Acts when it said, let another his bishopric take. And he speaks of it. It said that the Holy Ghost, which was back in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost, signifying such time by the mouth of the prophets that these things would come to pass. People prophesying, don't even know they're prophesying. God uses them, they don't even know anything about it. Somebody said, you think, Brother Pike, that a man could stand up and prophesy and not even know it was God? He could stand up and go through his contraries and still prophesy, and it would be right in the will of God. He could do it. Sure, he could do it. The Bible said the high priest Caiaphas stood up when he wanted to murder Jesus. Stood up, had one thing on his mind, to murder Jesus. And he stood up and he said, we ought to kill the man. Said it's better that one man die than all the nation to perish. Said Rome will come and take away our nation if we let this man go on. Because he's contrary. He's going to start a war with the devil. The Bible said him, not knowing anything about it, but him being high priest, that year prophesied that Jesus was to die for the sins of the people. One man and not all that should perish. Not knowing it. David prayed many times. I'm sure he didn't know it. But prophecy came forth. Jesus quoted the words of prophecy. I've been down praying, wouldn't be aware of it, that prophecy would be coming forth and all of a sudden would dawn on me that God was speaking to me. Maybe about somebody, about myself. I'd be so natural-minded, I wouldn't know it. We come to the church to hear the voice of the Spirit. And some of us never get in the Spirit the entire time that we're there. The Lord does things to let us know that the Spirit's in our midst. To let us know that God's with us. And then we do like that. On this side of Calvary, beast, blood beast, didn't know nothing. Spirit of God with Elijah, special men, Moses with him. What was it? You've heard me say so many times that Adam was in the presence of that light. Just like here in this building, you're in the presence of these lights. But you don't have this light in you. You don't have it in you. You go downstairs, let it get real dark. Go downstairs and cut the light off, and every one of you would be in darkness. Well, you said, Brother Pike, you couldn't get a light on the inside of you. I've heard of people sticking it in their mouth, closing their mouth. All the lights cut off, you could see the light through their mouth. Sure. See, Adam was in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. Them people was in the presence of the Holy Ghost. God was with them. Always been a God. God's always been with us. In the presence of it. But the same people that was in the presence of it, some of them was full of devils and demons. They could prophesy, they could preach. They could shout, they could jump, they could holler, they could run. Balaam. Bible said whoever he blessed was blessed, whoever he cursed was cursed. But the Bible called him a soothsayer. When he got right down to it, because he rejected God's word. God's eternal word. On this side of Calvary, people was in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. That's what's happened to Brother Branham's followers. I made the statement the other day. That's the same thing that happened to them. The thing that's happened to the church. The same things happened to them. They were in the presence of the pillar of fire. They were in the presence of the gift. They were in the presence of the great moving of God. Jesus said, Moses gave you the law. He said, but don't none of you keep it. Paul told them, don't none of you keep it. Those people have got books, got all kind of understanding. The Jews had the law, had everything, all of the scrolls and everything, and nobody kept it. That's why God chose Paul. Paul was trying to keep it. He said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees, from no mean town, blameless, touching the law. God had his eye on him. He was trying to do his best. But no flesh shall be justified by the law. Jesus Christ himself could not be justified by the law. It took the resurrection from the dead. On that cloud of Calvary, they were in the presence of it. In the presence of it. And you know what? The presence of the Word, the presence of the Spirit, you know what it does in the temple of God? Judgment begins in the temple of God, the house of God. It only brings judgment on you when you got the Word. Because you hear it, you know it, but you don't obey it. And that's why people don't want to hear it. They know that when they hear the Word of God, God's going to require something out of them. They know when they sit and listen to the Word of God, that carnal reasoning, that carnal desire, their old lustful appetites has got to go. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. It kills the flesh. It kills their ego. It kills their enthusiasm. It kills what they've hatched up in their minds. And they have to come to the Word. That's why they don't like it. Women don't like to hear the Word because the Word says, obey your husbands, reverence your husbands, obey your husbands in all faith. They don't like that. Men don't like to hear it because it tells them to labor that they might have to give. They can't be lazy. It tells them to obey them that have the rule of them. You see, they don't like those kind of things. Children don't like it because it said, obey your parents. And they'd rather do what they want to. Young boys and girls don't like it because they'd like to have a sex party. They'd like to put on a frolic. They don't like it because the Bible said all adulterers and fornicators will have their part in hell in the lake of fire. People don't like it because they're rebellious. And rebellion, as I said the other day, is the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness, and the sin of idolatry. They don't like it. They got a rebellion within them. They got a contrariness within them. They don't walk with the saints of God. That's the best way I know to understand that a person's on their way to hell. The Bible said if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. You will see eye to eye. You will speak the same thing. You won't break ranks. You won't pierce each other through. You will have one message, one faith, one God, one baptism. You will go hand in hand with your brother. You will go hand in hand with your sister. You won't run your old gossiping tongue. Cut, backbite. They need boldness in God. If you've got something to say to the preacher, go to the preacher. Don't go to your wife. If you got something to say against the brother, go to the brother. Somebody said, well, I've come to the preacher. You sure have a huffing and a puffing and a snorting and a every other way. Because you didn't have enough God courage, you had to work up a little of your intellectual ego and steam before you could get courage. Like some men ain't got courage to fight, they have to get to the bottle and turn the bottle up and get them a swallow of whiskey and then they get strong ready to fight. But the Bible said, go to your brother in the spirit of meekness. Is that right? Consider yourself lest ye be tempted also. They don't like it. Why don't they like it? Because it cuts across the grain. It tells them of their evil sins. It's wrong. Wrong. On the side of Calvary, they were in the presence of it. Those brothers up yonder, some of them good brothers, in the presence of that great gift. But I tried my best to tell some of them that they were wrong. Do you think they'd listen? No. I made the statement. I said, the famine will get so great. I said, a time will come when they will know that they're wrong. They will know it. And I said, it'd be just about the time that God starts to move. What about the brother? Made the statement like he did. Said, I thought they was wrong. I found out that he said, I was wrong. And look at the brother over yonder in Carolinas that withstood us. Come against us when we hadn't done anything against him. What did he do? He was so sure that he had it and everybody else was wrong. Is that right? He come against me. He come against the other brethren. But you know what he said the other day? He turned to his brethren. And he said, brethren, he said, we sit in the presence of that pillar of fire. He said, we wasn't nothing but a bunch of vultures. The same man. Why did he talk like that? Somebody come to me and said, there's been a change come over that boy. What is it? I know one thing that changed him. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised, but God let me know one thing that changed him. I'll tell you this much. When you get up in the air and you start flying around an airplane, and ain't nobody up there with you, and you're just the only one that's got control of the thing, God can shake it up just enough to make you get serious. He has me. He's got ways of doing things that people can't do. Some of you don't understand what I'm saying, I know. But you see, on the side of Calvary, these people was in the presence of it. Them people was in the presence of it. But they don't keep that. I made a statement, I said, you don't do what Brother Branham told you to do. You don't do what Brother Branham preached. You don't live like he told you. But on this side of Calvary, the second man, Adam, resurrected from the dead, not in the presence of God, but the presence of God on the inside of him. When the Jews kept running around after Jesus, because they were numbered on the other side of Calvary, before John, and they kept running around after Jesus, the rabbis and all of them, never been born again, Nicodemus coming by night. And he kept saying, tell us when the kingdom's coming. Tell us when the kingdom's coming. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, it's not given to you to know. He turned right around. He said, the kingdom of God don't come by observation. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. He said, Peter said, here's the key. Open the door. And let the people go into the kingdom of God. Then the writer come along and said, the law and the prophets till John. Since that time we're preaching the kingdom. That was the message. They were told to preach the name Jesus and the kingdom. The reason they preached the name Jesus, called Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man can get to the Father but by me. He said in John 4:24, God is a spirit. Nobody can get into the spirit except they go through the word. Jesus said, I'm the Word. You can't get into the Spirit except you go through the Word. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Pye. You said that the rain come on the just and the unjust. That means you're already in the Spirit. I know that. But I'm speaking of the kingdom of God getting within you. I'm speaking of your spirit on the inside, being born and intermingling with the Spirit of God. My friend, you can speak in tongues. That don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. You can shout. That don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. You can feel the anointing of God running over you like somebody poured water over you. That doesn't mean you got the Holy Ghost. The tree is known by the fruit that it bears 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It's the nature that you produce. If it's the Word nature, you've been born of the Word. For when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll testify of the Word. If you don't live the Word life, then you're not born of the Spirit. If them people that had done what Brother Branham had left with them, If they'd have walked that and talked that and lived that, I would have known it was born of his message. But my friend, they went contrary. If the Jews had done what Moses told them, I would have known, according to the holy writings of God, that they would have been born to the Spirit of God. But they didn't do it. God never intended to justify anybody by the law to start with. The Bible said the law was added for transgression 430 years before God ever gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. He picked out a man over there by the name of Abraham and said, Abraham, have faith in what I tell you. And the Bible said he became the father of the faithful. Many long years before Abraham ever come on the scene, he picked out a man by the name of Enoch. Said, Enoch, have faith in what I tell you. The Bible said he was translated by faith, Hebrews says. I believe it's Hebrews 11, said he was translated by faith that he should not see death. God's always been a God of faith, a God of spirit. Said the scriptures. Somebody said, well, where was the word at, Brother Pye? Somebody said, bless God, the spirit back there, where was the word? But the Bible said the holy scriptures appeared unto him. That's what God is. He's the scriptures. The true spirit of God is the scriptures. This is just a printed page of what he really is. But this has got to get into your natural mind before this can ever turn into a spiritual understanding of a revelation in your heart to where the faith of translation will come from. Like it's given unto you to know the mysteries that it translates. It's not given unto the others. See, there's a door open. That door is the Word. That door is Jesus. Philip preached the name Jesus and the kingdom of God. And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, then here come the preachers of fivefold ministry telling you to repent of your sins. Believe on the name Jesus Christ. I made a statement the other day that got carried away with the predestination. Some people have gotten in their mind and said, well, we're predestinated. But I made the statement and I still make it. The Bible said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. If you're predestinated, you will endure to the end. Somebody said, well, I'm still going. I meet some of Brother Branham's followers. Say, I'm still going. I was with the prophet 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. I'm still with the prophet. They never was with the prophet. They never was. The Jews never was with Jesus. Never was. That's why they killed him. They never was. When the Bible said he that endureth to the end, it don't mean you just live till you die, but it means he that keeps my sayings, that obeys the scripture without alter, change, without taking away from it. He that keeps every jot and every tittle of God's word to the best of his believing ability. And if you believe it, you will keep it. That's the faith you're saved by, because your believing is manifested by your works. What you do proves what you believe. People that don't come to church are unbelievers in church. That's why they don't come to church. You say it's the nature of Jesus. The Bible said the nature of Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. That every Sabbath it was in the house of God. Being in and out like a swinging up and down like a seesaw in the house of God. You tell me that's the nature of Christ, that's the nature of the devil. I offer no apologies for it. I say it's Satan. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Says the manner of some folks are like this. And those some folks always get in trouble. People don't want you to preach to them. They don't love the truth. That's why they get turned over to reprobate mind and they believe what they want to. You can't tell them the truth. You try to tell them the truth, they don't give earnest heed to it. You tell them that women ain't called to preach. You think they're going to pay any attention to it? As soon as they get around a bunch of women, they start shouting, bunch of men that's full of lust devils. That'll encourage them. They'll go right contrary to the word and go right back up there. Tell people it's supposed to be in the house of God. You think they're going to pay any attention to it? They got their own ideas about it. Just like when Moses tried to tell them back there in his day. Jambres. And the others, they withstood Moses. And Moses said, but the word of God said it. But it didn't matter. They had their own ideas about it. When God ordained a certain priesthood back there and sent them into the camp. And they were supposed to go in there and minister the holy things. And then here come another bunch of preachers along. And they said, bless God, don't make no difference. You're preachers and we're preachers. We're all preachers. So they decided to do it their own way. And the Bible said some of them that wasn't supposed to offer offering. And some of them that were supposed to offer offered strange fire. The Bible said God consumed and killed them. He killed some of Aaron's sons. And Aaron was a preacher. He killed some of his sons. And my friend, he wouldn't even let Aaron weep over it. He had his stand there, take it like a man. Dead. Killed. Destroyed. Why? Because they left the word. God has got a word. He's got a pattern. He's got a way. He's got a mind. He's not trying to bring everybody into a shout. God is not trying to bring everybody into some ritualistic practice, some program formality. God's not trying to get everybody to go around trying to work a miracle, to have a ministry and draw a crowd. God isn't doing that. God is trying to bring the people into one mind, one accord, like he did on the day of Pentecost. To bring the mind of God into the people to where the Holy Spirit can reach through that mind and cause them to walk in His ways to save them from death. God didn't call you because you was a great people. He said you're not very many, few there be that find it. God didn't call you because you're righteous people. He said you're the most rebellious people there are. Told Israel, said out of all the people you rebel more than any of them. The reason I believe he said that was because they knowed more. God required more out of them. Some of the other people rebelled, but you didn't know no better. Some of you people rebelled when you know better. Some people out there rebelled, they don't know any better. He said, I have chosen you for one purpose. One purpose. And that's not to make a name like A.A. Allen. Not to make a name like Oral Roberts. Not to make a name like Billy Graham. Not to get a big crowd, not to get a big tent, not to be able to go from church to church, not to be famous, but I chose you to make a name for myself, Jesus said. I want a name in the earth. Not Brother Pike's name, not Brother Branham's name, not Brother Allen's name. I want a name in the earth. Somebody said, bless God, that really fixes me up now. I know it all the time, I was right. When I was killing the preachers and destroying the ministry and doing everything with my long tongue, you hypocrite. Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. That's why you do those things. Jesus said, if you lift up one of the members of the body, you do it to me. If you speak well of one of the members of the body, you do it to me. If you clothe one of the members of the body, you do it to me. If you feed one of the members of the body, you do it to me. You gossip about one of the members of the body, you do it to me. I was hungry and you didn't feed me, naked, you didn't clothe me, sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. Somebody say, but I was a Christian. I went to church. No, you wasn't a Christian, you was a hypocrite. If you'd have been a Christian, he'd said, blessed art thou. For I was hungry, you did feed me. I was naked, you did clothe me. See, you wasn't no Christian. You was a long-tongued gossiper. Somebody said, but bless God, don't you know I prophesied? Sure, I prophesied. I jumped up and down. I leaped over the benches. Well, I was a whirlwind. I called the people just to, I really was, you know. And the Lord said, you worker of iniquity, I never knew anything about you. You never did come into my assembly the whole time you was there. It was in your own ideology, your own ways. But they said, but we prophesied. Said, Lord, don't you remember? We testified in your streets. We preached in your streets. But the Lord said, I never did know you. He said, the works that you did was not the works of righteousness. The child is known by his works, by his doings. Your faith is dead because you don't have the works of God. You didn't go to church like the Bible told you to go to church, only for your own convenience. Some people never come to the house of God till it gets a heavy heart. They can't do nothing else. feel like they go crazy or die and then they go to the house of God. They don't care nothing about God, His people, His house, nothing else. The Bible said if you love the brethren, then you pass from death unto life. Somebody said, I love the brethren. Well, you don't ever help the brethren. You don't never do nothing for the brethren. You don't never do nothing on the house of God. Somebody said, I love God, but you don't ever do nothing for Him. Oh, but somebody said, you don't know that I've been fasting. The Bible said, the Jews said, wherefore have we fasted? Lord, and you didn't notice it. You didn't take no knowledge of it. Said, why was it we prayed? And you didn't pay any attention to it. Jesus said, because you had your own plans and your own ideas. It wasn't for the Word. It wasn't to make my people turn from their sins. You don't care if the people die and go to hell, as long as you can get an offering, as long as you can get a shout, as long as they think a lot of you. Some of you don't even need to be in holiness. You need to get back out yonder somewhere. What is it? I'm thinking of a door open in heaven. Men press their way into the kingdom of God. Men press their way into the kingdom of God. Amen. Press their way into the kingdom of God. There's a young lady that's going to get in trouble if she don't get her mind on God. Quit coming to these services. This has been a number of months that she's coming to the services. And she thinks she's fixing to get the blessing of her life and she's fixing to get in trouble. She's got her mind on the lust of the flesh. Letting the evil spirit sin continually. There's a door that's open in heaven. There's a door. God gave Peter a key and he opened a door. And we can go in there. Brother Branham signified the end of that thing. And now the kingdom of God's here. Said your message will forerun my coming. And now the kingdom of God's here. And those people that was in the presence of it, like the Jews, they said, bless God, we got it. We're it. You're a bunch of dogs. We're it. The same attitude that the followers of Brother Branham took. Shut everybody out. You're doing the same thing around here. Some of you got that little old mind, my four and no more. You want your paycheck for you and your little bitties. That's right. You don't want to share nothing with nobody. You don't want nobody else coming in. That's why the Lord left them to begin with. They got self-righteous. It was true that they were blessed. It was true that God was with them. It was true that things was happening. It was true that Brother Branham was with them up yonder. And that God was with them. And it was true that it was in the presence of God. But when the Lord left the Jews, when he turned away from the Jews, they were the coldest, most out of sorts, scattered, persecuted people in the whole world. And has been ever since. And will be till they turn back to Jesus. Their head. They killed him. They hit themselves in the head and the bodies and members ain't done but suffered sins. You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I'm trying to say one thing, children of God. This little self-righteous clique that people hatch up, I don't care whether you do it in your... Some people are so self-righteous they can't even come to church. They can't even fellowship the brethren. Some are so self-righteous they can't do nothing but go to church. Man. There's a door that's open. That's a door. There's a door that's open in heaven. Them Jews were cut out. Brother Branham's followers, as sure as I breathe, my breath is cut off. And they're just now, after 7 years or longer, beginning to realize it. And they begin to look for something. Now, why is it? You say, well, there wasn't no good people to start with. They were good people. The Jews were the best people in the earth. But they got self-righteous. Them people were good people that sent under that ministry. But they got self-righteous and cut everybody else out. Self-righteous. Now, you know what it is? They said they didn't need the fivefold ministry anymore. And they went blind as bats. Because the fivefold ministry was setting for the perfecting of the saints. So they didn't need their help anymore. Now, here the door open. The door is open right now. Right now, the door is open. God gave Peter the keys of the kingdom, a preview of it at Pentecost. Now here we are in the end time, way over here. And the doors open up, it's manifest. Joel's prophecy of the army in the last days that would see eye to eye come in through the door. If you go any other way, he said, you're a thief, you're a robber. Somebody said, can you get into the spirit another way? Sure you can. Some of you do. Some of you get into the spirit another way. But you are a robber. You are a thief. You know what you want? You want to feel the spirit. You want to feel the spirit. Let somebody that's sincere on the inside try to do something for God and you can feel the spirit of God. You just drool after that person. You know why? Because you're dried up. You don't know nothing after God's Spirit, God's Word. You're not following it. You're dried up. It's because you won't live right. The Spirit of God's coming down on you in the presence of others? Sure. But my friend, you need to be born to the Spirit. You need to have a kind of glory on the inside of you. On this side of Calvary, I'm going to close in a little while. I know I'm going a little bit long. I got an intelligence just like you have. Job said, I'm not inferior to you. When they brought all their accusations, he said, I'm thinking just like you can. I know what you're thinking, and I know what's going on. I know I'm holding along. On this side of Calvary. Sometimes folks look at preachers like they think they got off in another world, and they don't know what's going on. They don't know that there's still time creatures out there. Well, we do. We just don't pay no attention to them until we get through with what God's got for us to say. You say, well, I don't want to hear it. Everybody's got the privilege to leave when they get ready. Now, on this side of Calvary, on this side of Calvary, friend, listen, we better wake up. Brother Ted come down here yesterday and said, Brother Pike said, my people sat for over 2 hours or more listening to me teach. I'll do good if I could easily sit 35 and 40 minutes without getting miserable. Some of them wanting to get out. You know why? God has done you like the Jews. You've been in the presence of it. You feel all filled up. You feel like we got it. We're all filled up. Like Brother Brandon's followers, we're all filled up. Let a man get a little canteen of water and strap it on his side. Go out in the middle of the desert. Somebody say, hey, fella, you fixing to die. Oh, I got water. Yeah, but don't you know out here in the desert there ain't no water out here. You're going to die. Yeah, but I got water, see? It's about middle ways out in the desert and all of its water's gone. He's too far to get back. He's gone. That's the way some of you are. You ain't going to work with nobody. You're not going to work hand in hand. But the Bible said that the land is full of crime, bloody crime. It said make a chain. Who will stand and make up the gap? Make a chain. If that man will get over here where that well of water is, another fellow get out of here, and another fellow out here, and another fellow out here. And they keep passing the water and passing the water and passing the water and passing the water. After a while, they can make a chain slap across the desert. If there's anybody out there that needs help, that's stranded, they can get to them. They can make a chain to where every person that comes can go across that desert, passing out water one to another and one going out a little further and a little further and a little further. A door is open in heaven on this side of Calvary. There's nothing against the church. We're resurrected. We're clean. We're upright. Brother Branham's followers, the Jews, are going to wake up. They're going to see that there's something. You're going to wake up. You're going to see there was something. When it lifts from you, and already it's lifted from some of you, and already it's lifted from some of you. I told Brother Jerry the other day, I said, Jerry, I said, there's some more that's going to get tripped up by the devil. Is that right, Brother Jerry? I said, there's some more that's going to get tripped up by the devil. Do you watch what I'm telling you? I said, because they won't listen. Already, I got some that's done getting bitter. I got some that's done turning sour on me. I got some of done feel a distance getting between me and them when we used to didn't have that distance. Like a man and his wife, when you feel a distance coming between your wife, there's a devil somewhere. Like Brother Branham said one time, he said when that little fella comes around with his hair all slicked back and his tight britches on, so forth, said, you better watch your wife. Somebody said, Brother Pike, did Brother Branham think like that? I'm afraid he did. I'm afraid he did. You love the Lord? I tell you what, I don't think he would have done to mess with his wife. I think we got some men in the world, you better not mess with their wives. Like the Lord told that man that mess with Abraham's. He said, you touch that woman and you're a dead man. He told him in short order, he said, I'll kill you and everybody in this whole place if you mess with that woman. Now, wife might be a little weak. She might toy around with the men sometime. She ain't got no business doing it. But God will put his finger down. He'll say, you better stay off. You better stay away. I'll get you. A door that's open in heaven. Folks, I want you to wake up. I'm going to try to say this in close. The presence of God comes into an area. It did it to the Jews. It did it to Olive Branch. How many of you have heard me say that over and over? In Olive Branch, it settled down over there. That's the truth. The ego of the people was stirred. They could have evangelized the world. It settled down over them. I found myself saying the same thing to them I'm saying to you. To start with, they ate it up. They drank it up. They grabbed it up. Wasn't long before Brother Roy rose up against me. Wasn't long before Brother Delmer rose up against me. Wasn't long before Junior McKellum rose up against me. Wasn't long before the entire Brother Dippy, all of them rose up against me. Brother Kitchens, every one of them. The leaders, the shepherds, good men, still are good men. But being blinded because they followed that pattern of the Jew. Wasn't long before they got the people so confused they wouldn't listen to me. Some of them that rose up against me wanted to turn the people away from me so they'd listen to them. But when they got them turned away from me, then they got confused and wouldn't listen to nobody. Some of them wanted to make a little money click out of it. Wanted to have them a famous ministry. Sure, wanted a famous ministry. So they're going to get the little people together. And they're going to get a little money machine going. I told them, I said, it will never work. It didn't. A man's without honor in his own country. It won't work. You might think it will. They rattled around and the people ran to him. But they wouldn't do nothing and he got bitter. And he come to my house and he told me, he said, I'll tell you right now, said, these people don't want to do nothing. It worked out that way. Soon the Lord lifted. Nothing but heartaches and sicknesses and death and woes and sorrows has hit that place since. And it's just now, according to what I understand, it's just now fixing to come out back into the Spirit of God. Watch and see. You say, Brother Pike, I don't believe it. Watch and see if it don't happen. There will be a revival in Olive Branch and there'll be a rising up and a stirring and the people will come back to the front for God. If they don't do it, I'm a false teacher. They'll do it as sure as I live. They'll come back and it ain't far away. It had to do with the coming of the spring. For 7 years or more, they ain't been able to do nothing but fuss and fight and feud, wrecks and deaths, sorrows, heartaches.